If I may start by saying an apology. Two apologies. The first apology is it's the first time that the TAC is presenting to your committee. And it's a very sad moment that we didn't do so before, because especially after reading the Doctors for Life judgment, we realized how important the NCLP is to our legislative life. So we want to apologize. I hope you'll accept our apology. And then the second thing is I have to apologize on behalf of our General Secretary, Rebecca Dubula. She would have made the presentation today. She is away on study leave. She's got an exam today for a psychology degree.
Thank you very much for that. You're welcome. But would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay,
sorry. We didn't have time for introduction because we want to get up.
Okay. I'm Zaki Ahmed, the Deputy General Secretary of the Truth and Action Campaign. The place to start is, again, I'm doing this presentation on behalf of the AIDS Law Project and the Treatment Action Campaign. Our texts for our amendments have been given to you last week, our proposed amendments, and we just want to apologize to the department because it seems through an oversight that they didn't get a copy of the proposed amendments. It really was an oversight. As you know, we normally give it to you first. What we wish to say at the outset is that there are three areas that we want to draw your attention on. Page three of the oral submission, you will see that there are 3 points in the original bill and 2 additions that we want to add. When we made our submissions to the House of Assembly, unfortunately, many of the suggestions we made were not taken seriously, although some were incorporated. What we have to say is that for us, a Medicines Control Council or a Health Regulatory Authority is probably one of the most important things a country can have. Because safety of medicines, efficacy of medicines, and their quality, very, very important. Everything that we put into our bodies ought to be tested, that makes a claim, ought to be tested. In the 21st century, there's going to be many dramatic advances in healthcare. And it's critical for us to have a 21st century regulatory authority. And so this is a step in the right direction, but regrettably it doesn't have the important oversight mechanisms to make sure that there's not commercial interests that can influence the authority and that there's not political interests that can influence the authority. So the first is the structure and mandate of the authority. And the second would be the criteria for appointing the CEO. The third is the power of the minister to exclude particular medicines. And then the additions we would like to see is a recognition of other stringent authorities in cases of emergency. So for instance, if the Botswana Health Regulatory Authority has in fact registered something and there's an emergency, like bird flu or something, there should be the ability to recognize. Or if the World Health Organization recommends, it should be able to recognize. The other point is an access to information. Very often the drug companies hide their data, and above all they hide, when we've asked them, when did you submit to the MCC, they say to us it's a commercial secret. So that's something that we need to be able to overcome. We're not saying that they should automatically disclose financial issues, but what we want in the public domain is the data on which they rely to have medicines. So let me go quickly to the structure, Madam Chair. We would like Parliament to have a greater oversight. I know we've got a very good Minister and Deputy Minister, but it's always the situation that the Minister cannot pay sufficient attention to the registration of medicines. A Minister has a great deal of other jobs to do, and so we would like greater parliamentary oversight. Of course, the minister in the reporting of the CEO to the minister, it's very, very important that the minister takes their advice or keeps them accountable, but in the end, it's parliament that has to have that oversight. We also would like to see a very important addition, which is some form of governance structure within the health regulatory authority, like the SABC board, that make sure that the authority itself can fulfill its mandate. The third issue, I just want to go quickly to the, you can read the submission and consider the submission separately plus the textual amendments. The structure and mandate of the authority, I've mentioned, is the oversight. Then the question of the criteria for the appointment of the CEO. It's very important that the public has confidence in the CEO that is appointed. There are two processes that we would recommend in addition. Recommendations be sent to the Minister and the Committee of Parliament, that it be a public process to ask for nominations, that be then brought to the Minister, and when the Minister decides who to appoint, that those people get critically scrutinized by the parliamentary and the parliamentary process. So, for instance, if you have, let me give you an example. The Food and Drug Administration of the United States, it's not even their health minister who appoints the CEO of the FDA. It is the president of the United States who appoints. And that person goes through a confirmatory procedure of the second house, which is the Senate. And it would be a confirmatory procedure that goes through the parliamentary process, which would probably be a joint committee of yourselves and the health committee. So I don't know how this works, but you can figure that one out. But from our point, that would really assist in giving public confidence in who the CEO is, who's going to ultimately be responsible for the medicines we put in our bodies. The last thing is the exclusion of particular medicines. Now, the old Act had a very clear process for that, that the minister could exclude a medicine if there was a unanimous recommendation from the Medicines Control Council. What the new amendment has done is it's taken that power completely away and given it to the CEO to recommend, and the CEO is only responsible to the minister. And the problem with that is that there's no additional scientific or peer review oversight of such a mechanism. So if a minister comes under pressure, either from activists or from commercial interests or from crazy people or from, then a minister can seriously be undermined by being forced to exclude a medicine when in fact there's been no peer review of it. So we would like to see that clause strengthened. And our text you have in front of us. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. 35 minutes. Why is it a very thank you to me? Thanks ever so much. Honorable member, you have some comments, questions, answers, thank you. Honorable Solo.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one small thing that I want to clarify. We have got the author here, I mean, suggested that it should be an authority. And I see that you are suggesting also at the same time the board. When you get started, who reports to the authority, reports to the board, and other functions of the board other than the whole question of reporting to you. But it is that not that they're supposed to be a result that I expected. Because he was an authority, I see an authority as a body that will actually come up with policy and actually implement. And the board will be there for policy. But I did not really look at it. How do you think this situation can be sorted out? Well, it was both a board and then an authority. I thought, when I see it, I said,
Yes, no, that point is there any other input?
Yeah,
any honorable member?
I'm not a doctor. In fact, I've got an honours degree in English from UWC. I don't mind those honorary ones. They're not real. They're not hard earned. But may I add, Honourable Tola, the critical question for us is that the authority should have an oversight body. And the oversight body should be able to check, because the Medicines Control Council at the moment has what they call a Chemical Task Committee. It has what it calls a new Chemical Entities Committee. It has a whole range of committees. are made up of experts like pharmacology and so on. So there are a whole range of committees, and they go through a process to register a medicine. That's why it takes so long. What one needs is an oversight body that assists the CEO of the health regulatory authority to see that the process has been properly followed. Because if the CEO herself or himself sits down and has to go through all these piles, then you don't have, a proper oversight by the CEO. So it's really to both assist the CEO and to assist Parliament and the Minister in ensuring that a function gets fulfilled. So if you look at the SABC has a CEO and it has a board. The CEO does the job. The board makes sure that the process and policies are correct and the money is spent properly.
And thank you very much, Honorable Sukuna, you are welcome. Your apologies for the arrival of the agenda. Thank you very much, and thanks for the presentation. Honorable members have heard you. We will go and apply our minds when we deliberate on this debate. Thank you ever so much.
Can I just say my colleagues are with me, and I wanted to thank Andrew and Jonathan for assisting with the drafting of the submissions and the text, just specifically to note that. Thank you.
Yeah. And now we are going to give another 5 minutes to innovative medicine. According to the Secretary, we only allowed this instrument today, this morning. So members are seeing for the first time. Please talk to me. And then we do receive formal requests. In future, we need to get this so that we be able to in our program. May you introduce Honorable Tete?
Yeah. Chairperson, I may have missed their document. Is it lying somewhere in my pack? Or what are they going to be talking to? Do they have a document to share with us?
Yeah, we
still
have to make up.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You just copied this morning, and the committee secretary to deal with the department to the project. Introduce yourself, madam, and briefly talk to us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me introduce myself first. I'm Val Bermas from Innovative Medicine SA. It's a trade association representing manufacturers of innovative pharmaceuticals. I really appreciate this opportunity to address the Honorable Committee, especially as I thought that the document that we had prepared had come through yesterday. It seems not to have. I think perhaps we could blame the storm in Joburg that put out everything in terms of communication. It's only a very small point. We want to make a point on one aspect of the amendment bill, and we appreciate very much this opportunity to do so. I think if I can say up front, we do support this piece of legislation. It's very, very important to the pharmaceutical industry that this legislation does go through and that it will support the creation of a new approach. And the concern that we wish to raise is just around the appeal process, but it does in a way touch on what the TNC has said. We refer in particular to the appeals processes in 24 and 24A of the Amendment Act, but it does impact on clause 2 and 3 in terms of what the solution is that we propose. I think our concern is that the appeal process as it is laid out is flawed to an extent that could invite challenges in terms of administrative and constitutional law. And we would like there to be a little bit more clarity given around these clauses to ensure that the processes are actually clear and that the Appeals Act can be implemented. If we look at clause 24A, it asks that any person aggrieved by the decision of the authority may appeal against such decision by notifying the Chief Executive Officer within 30 days of becoming aware of such decision, his intention to appeal, and setting up the full grounds for appeal. Those are two of the concerns that we have. There's the issue of legal representation in point two there. And the actual way that the appeals committee is appointed. Now, in terms of our solutions, perhaps we can go straight to the solution, because I think the solution is fairly easy from our side. The solution would lie in clause 2 of the amendment, so if we went to clause 2, we would like to see greater clarity around the powers of the authority, the CEO, the staff, and the committee, to create certainty as to who makes the final decision. The appeal board is about the final decision, and if this case there's not adequate clarity from our view, who's making that decision? Is it the authority? Is it the committees of the authority? And when is it a recommendation and when is it a decision? So we have in our document made two suggestions there, which could both do. For one would be an inclusion of a clause that says the CEO may delegate any of his or her powers in terms of the actual powers and any regulations that promulgate in terms of that to a committee or a member or members of staff, and the decision made by the CEO or such committee or member of staff shall become a decision of the authority. Alternatively, go the other route that says that any recommendation made, who can make those recommendations, and who needs to confirm that? Does everything need to come up to the CEO? But until we're absolutely clear on where and when decisions are made, it's going to be very difficult for us to understand the appeal process. The other thing is, in terms of, if we look at clause 2, it says that the CEO is accountable and reports to the minister. And it's not clear to us what that accountability entails. Does it allow the CEO to still make a decision? Or is there a role of the minister there? And we've heard the TAC now maybe suggesting another process. So we need to be absolutely clear on who is making the decisions and at what stage the decisions are made. And our other solution to that would be, in terms of clause 35.1 in the regulations, there is provision in the new amendment bill to make regulations relating to timelines for all applications. We would like to propose that the timelines be broken up into the different areas where decisions need to be made. So there's a specific timeline, then we can be clear what process, if the process is complete, who is making the decision, and at what stage the appeal would begin. Then in terms of the appeal committee, we have put out a solution in detail there, but I think really what we're saying is that we would like to see that the appeal committee have 4 independent people, rather than 2 people appointed by the authority and 2 appointed by the appellant. Either way, there's going to be 4 biased people sitting around the table, and we would like to see independent people there. And there is a bit of a concern that if the CEO is engaging in the first phase of that approval of the appeal process, they would have been the person that would have been in charge of the decision up to that stage. If they're driving the first part of the appeal process, is in fact the CEO independent at that stage? Perhaps there's an attempt here to facilitate discussions before we get into a deadlock situation, but perhaps we could make that a separate process and not part of the official appeal process to open the way for those discussions to happen. And then just a point on clause 24, we wonder why there's a separate process for appeals against the Director General. There's nothing specifically wrong with the process that's there, but the query is it not easier to have the whole thing set? And that is the point that we wish to raise. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, madam. And I'm saying that members do not see the document yet, but let me give an opportunity to ask some clarification questions. And Honorable Truman, you are most welcome. Your colleague was doing that. And because the committee is from another meeting.
Is the mic on?
I am the first that somewhere in the special state clearly that the name of people who do not have any particular issue. And how that you think you need to tighten that up as a need to tighten that up. And then you are saying these 4 people, I mean, because of their appointment, and who do you think is appointed? I mean, it's a people. That's number 2. And number 3, the presentation as made by TAC on clause number 2, because you said something on clause number 2 as well, the whole question of accountability and reporting to the minister. Now, the whole question as presented by the TSC, would that satisfy your, the problem that you have? Would you be satisfied if it is addressed along those lines? Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
The
honorable
speaker.
Yeah, yes, yes, and it's a TK. We don't have her presentation in front of us here. But what I wanted to check with her, whether the issues that she has been raised have been clearly detailed in the document that have the forward to us, because it is one thing to lament, but it's one thing to specifically propose amendments on a particular clause. I just want to check if they've done that specifically, because to say this is not right without putting some proposal to say what to make it right, it sometimes creates problems there. I just want to check that with her. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any other member? None? May I respond to that?
Thank you, Joseph. In terms of the first question, the independent person and the independence of the appeal committee, our recommendation in the document is that the minister would appoint an appeals committee when one is needed, and that the people sitting in any particular appeal process would be four independent people who have not been connected either with the person making the appeal and the application, or from the Department of Health or from the NCC. Independent in all respects with respect to that scientific decision that's being made for that product. So perhaps one would envisage a group of people who could all play that role, and as appeals came up, four people could be identified independently rather than the people who are coming forward with the problem. And then on the question of the document, again, I do apologize that you didn't have it before. What we have put in this short document is an explanation of what we are concerned about, and then we have made very clear proposals and presented wording on each case at the end.
Yep.
So you will see where we come from,
yep,
and what we're proposing. And I do apologize. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sam, for the presentation and clarity.
No, I'm not. By the TAT in respect of clause 2.
But meeting procedure, you raise your hand and or we make a note to it. Thank you. Can you respond,
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Our view would be that if we could structure clause 2 in such a way that the powers and the scope and responsibilities of all the parts of the authority were clearly defined and identified, it wouldn't be necessary to have an independent oversight, I think, but we do believe that a lot of that is missing, but we would see it coming into, being brought into clause 2 or into regulations that would clearly spell out the powers and responsibilities in place.
Thank you very much, we accept all the presenters, and then the committee will look at those presentations, maybe all the documents, and then we'll turn back to thank you whoever comes. Can we now go to the next item of our agenda and welcome Honorable Matubuko, and then we're in another meeting of LIPA. Thank you, Honorable Member of the meeting. We are now going to call back to the department and deal with clause by clause. There's a document. No, they sent this document because they're fancy, okay, the consent of last week. But I don't think members will document this one. I mean, why did they send the document? When did you send the document to this? Let us tell you.
Which one?
Medicine related substance amendment.
We just got it. Sir.
Okay, and then I sent it on Friday. yesterday, members came this morning. Can you talk to it briefly? Because I thought let's give members time to go and visit. Members, can you assist it? You only receive this document now.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think that whilst we are here, having this document with us, I think the department can take us through this particular document for now to give us a better understanding why these members were affected by the portfolio policy, because we were somewhere in the dark.
You're covered.
Yeah, I'm covered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Department, over to you.
Thanks,
up to 11 o'clock to round up the program
of the health. Okay, thanks. There are two documents that we have produced. I'm not sure which one. The first one is the one that deals with the difference between the leave as it was produced in the MA and the leave as it was presented before the. We produced the document because we were instructed by the members to hear with them what the differences are. But the other document that is presented is a presentation of which is a clause by clause presentation on the paper, which is a document that we only submitted for this morning. And that's the document that I think I'll go to.
Then could you say nothing? Chairperson, are we dealing with the document that says the Principal Act 101 of 1965?
I want us to do that to just talk to the document brief and give us the background before getting to talking about. But before that, let me give the
testimony. Chairperson, I'm very much concerned. You are aware I wasn't here for the whole of the last
year.
I was
not sure
the discussions on this deal. I'm not sure many people assist that test because we may say you do whatever you direct, and in the process never interject. It may be a summary of what specific was directed to the department to do could be recapped, and we move on that basis, so that they do exactly what the meeting decided in the last meeting, to say this is what we are going to do and all those things. Because I hear you and other members making reference to quite a number of different issues and processes. Thank you.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. Do I go through the document or do I deal with what the Honourable Senator said? What we understood and meant it to be from last week was a fair representation on the cross by cross. That's what we've done. But in addition, we were asked to highlight what the difference are between the bill that was presented in the NA and the bill that was presented for this committee. We do not understand that to mean that there will be presentation of that particular document. It was just for the information of the member. But we are ready to stick to any of the two documents, whichever the committee is.
Because of time, let's use clause by clause. Then members will have an opportunity to go through this document.
Thanks, with your permission, if you can start with some background information on the Medicines and Disabilities Act, what it actually regulates as it stands now, and what the bill seeks to do.
Chairperson, can we be clarified on all documents have got clause 1, clause 2. Is the document that is dealing with the Principal Act 101 of 1965 or amendment made by the Portfolio Committee? Which one are we talking about?
The
The principal act. The principal act.
It is a document that starts with an introduction and then discussion somewhere.
All right.
Briefly.
Yeah, I'm covered there. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Like I was saying, currently the Medicines and Illicit Substances Act 101 of 1965 provides for the regulation of medicines and medical devices only. The medical devices that have been regulated are those that contain medicines in them. And it does not include other medical devices that don't contain medicines in them. The Act also establishes the Medicines Control Council, which is appointed by the Minister. It's a council of part-time individuals who meet about once every 6 weeks. They are responsible for the registration of medicines at the council. The Act also provides for the appointment of the Register of Medicines, who is appointed by the Minister after consultation with the Medicines Control Council. The Act also provides that the registrar is the full-time person in the public service, and currently the person serves as the chief director for policy and planning with regard to commercial in the department. The Act also provides that the registrar is the secretariat for the Medicines Control Council. The Act also, to a certain extent, regulates the pricing of medicine. It also makes provision for the appointment of the pricing commissioner, as well as the minister, on the pricing issue. That's what the Act currently provides for. In the bill, we are introducing a regulatory authority that will replace the council. The authority we are trying to establish is going to be a full-time entity, which is going to be a juristic person, and in addition to medicines and medical devices, the authority is going to be also regulating certain foodstuffs and cosmetics. These are, as members may be aware, there is an act that deals with foodstuffs and cosmetics, but these ones are only the cosmetics and foodstuffs that we say contain certain substances. In other words, which have some medicines in them. The challenge we've been having in the past in the department is that there have been people who are marketing products, foodstuffs, when actually those products contain some medicines. Now, the idea is that if any person is going to be marketing any product with medicinal claims, those claims must be subjected to an evaluation by the new authority and confirmed as such. We are saying that the authority is going to be subjected to the PFMA Act, which means that it will of necessity become a public entity. Of course, it will play a public entity, which means that as soon as the Act is brought into operation, the CEO will make arrangements with the necessary department for registration. The public entity. The authority is going to be registering products which include medicines, the foodstuffs that I referred to, and medical devices. The authority is going to be headed by the CEO, appointed by the minister, as proposed, and the CEO is going to be responsible for the appointment of staff of the authority. And we have said that the authority is going to be reporting and accountable to the minister. Our understanding is that this has never been in relation to the scientific decision in relation to the regional medicine. And that the bill has not changed anything in relation to the pricing of medicine, but those components will remain in the principal act. That was by way of background, Madam Chair. If we go through the bill cross by cross, you'll notice that clause 1 deals with the definition. It introduces a number of new definitions, which include the authority, the foodstuff, cosmetics,
IVD, medical glasses, admissions and products, you will see that in our definition of foodstuff, like we do with regard to cosmetics, we still turn the same definition. That is also in the respective act that relates to that. But emphasize that it is only those that contain a human substance that are also affected in the first act. And we are amending certain definitions, which include the definition of advertisement, medicine, and medical device. With regard to advertisement, we are only adding medical devices in relation to the provisions of the Act that addresses advertising. And we are lastly deleting the two definitions that of the Council and registered with the anonymous refers in the Act should be passed. That was in relation to clause one. Clause two, amend section 2 of the Principal Act, which deals with the establishment of the authority. The old Act, the current Act, section deals with the establishment of the MCC. It will be noticed that the authority established as the president, like I said in the opening remarks, subject to the PFMA, called to the minister, and the point earlier made by Ms. Bowman with regard to the functions of authority, what we have chosen to do, which is an approach, we have not listed the functions of authority in one section. But if you go through the entire bill and the Principal Act, this is the functions out there, starting with the section 14 that deals with the prohibition of sale of unlisted medicines, section 15 that deals with the prohibition of medicines. Now the actual functions are in the book of the Act itself. And also to make the point that precisely because of that, you see the Act and the Bill are not only there to establish the authority. They provide for a regulatory regime for medicine. That's why the Act or the Bill is not simply called the Regulatory Authority Act. It provides for a system of regulatory medicine. Now coming to clause 3, the clause provides for the appointment of the CEO and staff of the authority. There is a stating that the CEO is appointed by the minister. We have provided for qualifications for appointments. I think some of them come from the submission that the TAC made in the National Assembly. And the provision also provides for the removal of the CEO from office. The basis for that, first which is on the basis of serious misconduct, incapacity and engaging activities that undermine the integrity of the authority. The provision further provides for the terms of the CEO's appointment that he or she is appointed for the 5 years, which is a renewable one. The CEO is appointed subject to the performance agreement with the minister, and also that he or she is accountable and opposed to the minister. The CEO is entitled to the benefits as defined by the minister for public service administration. You also notice in that clause we have mentioned some of the responsibilities of the CEO, which include the general administration of the authority, in some respects carries out the functions of the authority. I think this is a point that may have raised some confusion as a place by improvement. And I think it's something that we can improve on. The CEO appoints staff of the authority and so as a bureau. And in terms of the PFMA, he or she will be responsible for compiling business and financial reports for the authority. And the CEO also will be responsible for the appointment of committees this will mostly be specialist premises to advise the authority on a number of issues, but of course it's in the pages of the authority. The structure of the authority, there have been a content raised in the previous briefing, but the bill does not provide for the structure of the authority. You will notice from the provisions of the bill that we're simply saying that the minister, after consulting the Minister of Public Services and Administration, will determine the structure of the authority. We have said in the past that it's easy to provide for the structure when you're dealing with an entity like a board of the council, where you need to provide for membership, things like quorum, things like the way that, you know, conduct their meetings. But in the case of an authority, it's a fact is that
I'm not having for 10 minutes to
I will quickly run through. In any event, the substantive provisions better relate to the establishment of the authority. The rest of the clauses are consequential amendments because we have to go through the act, and in every instance where reference is made to the council, or place council with the authority, in every instance, or not every instance, in many instances where reference is made to the medicine, we must also admit that devices and products which include stuff. Basically, that was clause 3. I will maybe skip the clauses that only deal with constitutional amendments and maybe go straight to if you look at clause 7, that deals with the registration of products. Basically, it is the responsibility of the authority to register medicine. Then we can go to clause. I'm looking at those that provide for substantive methods, Madam Chair. Maybe we can look at the one that deals with the with appeal as provided for in clause 29. Starting with appeals against the decision. You see, the DG makes a few decisions in terms of the act and the bill. These are not scientific decisions that are made by the DG. They relate to licenses and import permits. Now, we're saying that with regard to those kind of decisions, it's important to have the appeal lodged with the minister. And we have deemed it fit to separate the two because they deal with different matters. With regard to the appeals and decisions of the authority, those will mostly be scientific methods where we provide for my two committees. It's true that we have provided for my two committee that comprises five persons. The chairperson will be the chair, appointed on account of his knowledge of the law, to assist with procedural duties. But we are saying that of the four persons, the two must be appointed by the, but then nominated by the appellant. And then the other by the CEO, but all are funded by the CEO. Now we thought that would take care of maybe for that the provision that we have made for an attempt to have matters resolved, especially in administrative cases. In our experience, a lot of matters that come for appeal today relate to administrative issues. They are not necessarily challenges on policies or scientific matters. Now, if we have an attempt in the first instance to deal with those, we believe that will reduce the appeal load that the but we are open to suggestions. In the principal act, it is the minister who appoints the appeal committee. If this committee wants to better that arrangement, it can be done. But we have thought that instead of tying up the minister, we take our, because that's what is happening now. We have the appeals, it was about 1 o'clock in April month almost. Now we have to identify experts and advise the minister, and we thought the process is best to deal with that. And the fact that we have provided for conflict of interest with the financial matters in that position, so that will serve some kind of safeguard mechanism, ensuring that there is no conflict of interest. Madam Chair, I think the rest of the provision provision amendment. I think I should leave it apart and then take any comments and then see how we can back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ramaphosa. Looking at a time, honorable members, as we know that we've got this week, next week the permanent delegates will be in their provincial week, where every member is to go back to his or province to go and do the work of the NCOP. The following week is taking Parliament to Eastern Cape. So we've got only 1 week in November to do plenary of our bill. Now I'm going to put this proposal to honorable members to say, having 5 minutes, it's not going to be enough to deal with this bill and finalize it today as intended. So, because the plenary has been cancelled this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll adjourn the meeting and continue at 2 o'clock, maybe for an hour, to go back and get clarity seeking from the department and do clause by clause, and if possible, we finalize this bill this afternoon. Agreed, members? Agreed. Can you?
I'm saying maybe we should also look at the issues that were made by the current group in that issue.
Thank you very much. We'll be meeting at 2 o'clock as a committee. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department for their presentation. I think we'll be back at 2 o'clock, and also Minister and Deputy Minister for your time. We'll confirm the venue, but hopefully maybe the venue will be this one. Thank you very much. Now, do you want a health break for 5 minutes, so that the Department of Social Development can be ready for it? And also to apologize to the department for swapping. Department of Social Development. We are pressed because of the time. We don't have time for the other way. 25 minutes health break.
I gave you those minutes.
5 minutes health break. Not a small break.
Okay, anyway.
Thank you. I am going to be a little bit upset tonight.
Helen, I didn't go. You have my story.
I don't go, you know.
My passport is a problem.
I wasn't aware my passport is expiring in your office.
No, I need to sit on the table.
No, I used my office.
Are you sure?
Truly. I used my official passport when I went to my home.
I told you, I told you.
I used my official passport and if you know London, they should have known.
But now, but at the embassy, they will be easy to come. They didn't have
anything. Only because I used my parliamentary card and I had some business in Kent and they didn't even ask for it.
You know,
they didn't call me because you knew and I went to my door.
I don't know. Did you eat anything else?
You should grab the opportunity. Hey, you are getting. Who are you? Yeah, busy looking at the city. Yeah, things are happening. Things are happening. Well, it's good for democracy. Where people are crying, they are crying for nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, they must appreciate.
Yeah.
Your group wise, did they charge you? Does it cost you? On your cell phone?
Oh, yeah. Like your normal internet.
Oh.
Thank you very much, honorable members and the department. Also, to apologize for stopping the time. I know some members are from the provinces. They're scheduled for special flights. Because of this short test, we wanted to put the work of the committee so that some of the bills can be finalized before we assess if possible. But if not, then it is a cost issue. But thanks for allowing us your time. We are going to save our time for not introducing ourselves, because we are here up to 13 hours. But those who be presenting or those who be talking, they may introduce themselves so that we can record their presentation. And also, happily welcome our special delegates. They are all with us here. We really enjoy your platform. We are going to deal with the final reading on prevention and treatment for substance abuse bill B12B2008. Are we all having a package?
No. We do.
Honorable members, we don't have copies. We've got the instant case. We are so lucky we've got all 9 provinces. Obvious. Instant case, Free State, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga,
Southwest.
Mm.
Northwest.
From
whom?
Northern
K.
And
Western
K.
The Eastern Cape, under the resolution, the committee is supposed to be as amended and resolved that the following final mandate be confirmed. Vote for the adoption of the bill B12B2008 without amendment. That will alter the principle of the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Section 65(1) of the Constitution, the Social Development Portfolio Committee recommends that the House confer authority on the Gauteng Provincial Legislative Delegate to the National Council of Provinces to vote in favor of the prevention of and treatment of substance abuse. D128B-2008. Thank you,
Chairperson. Well, we have Mama Kay. Thank you. We didn't confer mandate, Honorable Chair, and that was based on the fact that we did not have the amended version of the Bill 12B, 2008 in front of us. And then, but we did have the suggested amendment. And it just brings me, if I may contextualize, Chair, that in some of the committees I've sat in lately, if we don't have the amended document, the committees are actually having difficulty in giving the final mandate. So I thought, well, I was mandated, not my own thought, to raise it here. As a concern that we can't always deal with the final mandate if we don't have the amended bill in front of us. But having said that, I leave it to you to decide what where we go from here, but we do not have a final mandate. Not sure if the Honourable Governor wants to add to that. He was asking me.
Thank you very much. I've got a mandate in front of me
Therefore,
the committee and MLC agreed not to confer
on
the final voting mandate until the bill is amended
in
accordance with the first amendment. And it's also the committee.
Well, that means, but we didn't confer because we didn't have. We've got a mandate not to confer.
coming up, and the time frames are so short, as you said earlier, So I think, you know, we need to look at that and see whether we need to really push these bills through because we have to push them through, or whether we should really apply our minds and do things the way it should be done so that we don't, you know, we don't get criticized, you know, in the future.
Okay.
It's not
worth
the one to do something. Or before that, let me
give I think some of the things are actually our own mistakes. We try to short-circuit time. We want to cut time. And at the same time, it compromises the provinces, particularly the central cities. And I think what we need to do as the parliament is to stick to the normal procedures that we have. I think that will actually help provinces, because provinces end up not doing what they're supposed to do on the ground, because we want these things in the shortest possible time. I think on our side, we need to play by the book as well.
And I think we normally do that even to extend this possibility. We cut our policies. We do our work. If need be, we still continue next year to do our work. So let's not rush the things we have. I support this meeting. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to elaborate and bring some clarity on this issue, we need to appreciate and understand that.
Can you introduce yourself because we are coming here for the first time?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The name is Madeline Gemma from the Central Advisors. I just wish to clarify and elaborate on this point, Honorable Chair and the members, that we need to appreciate firstly that When we deal with this process, and when it goes to the provinces get the amendment list of all the proposed amendments. Unless the bill is going to be a complete redraft, then they are going to get their draft as well, so that they can deliberate and know what they're talking about. But when the members go for the mandate, they actually go to deliberate on the series, and it's not viable to have the last bill, the D bill, produced at that time, because only that bill must be produced once it's been adopted by the committee. So when the members go back to the provinces, they go to deliberate on the amendment and confer the mandate, whether they agree with the amendment or they want to propose their further amendment. Now, when they come back with a final mandate, the mandate must be on the ceiling, not on the bill itself, because the bill can only be done once adopted by the committee, as the member earlier indicated. So actually, I don't see it viable, maybe with the new bill that is coming to deal with the procedures on mandating, maybe it's going to talk to it. But currently, and the way it has happened, it's impossible to have the D version while the members go for the mandate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Relay the fact that I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a creating a fee and these drafts of a bill. And I'm saying that because we are the ones who will be doing it. And just in terms of what Mrs. Stoner has been saying in terms of a middle road. So I would say in the end, if we submit a CNSD before the final mandate stage, and it happens with other committees as well, if we can create a draft CNSD and send it to the provinces, I don't think that would be a problem, because it would also create or limit the problems that we've been experiencing in the past. So I would say we're willing from the administration side to draft the CNSD or a list or a B list, whatever the case may be, and then have it for the final mandate stage and we then submit it to the provinces beforehand.
The C
is a list of amendments. I'm talking about the draft. The committee that does that.
What we do is the state law advisors draft the C. In this case, it would be a C list.
Yeah,
so we would get the C list from the state law advisors. We incorporate. successful, I think, we call it a cut and paste process, and we create a D version. So we can have a D version before the committee sits and distributes it to the committee. I actually think it's a good idea.
I think I have been covered because what we need in the provinces is the C version that will include those amendments, and we will give a mandate on the C version, and then it goes to the NCOP for them to draft the D version. As you know, provinces, we are not in a concept with the D version. We need to see the C version so that we give a mandate on that, and then the D version is then
drafted. That's not our concern. To the extent that we have taken, because there are various interpretations, have participated in various forums, legal advisors and practitioners from Gauteng about their own district, I don't want to be judgmental, KwaZulu-Natal and everybody else. To the extent that we come in one room and say, how do we ensure uniformity in terms of standards and procedures to address this question, we must not take it that we have resolved this issue now. No? Whatever we are saying are comments that are acceptable, but they may not solve the problem. We need to convene that meeting so that we say, how do we improve the current system? So that would be really be my point in terms of summarizing what should be the way forward. Because we may say as well, what Kadisha is saying, go and do it, and still we encounter problems. Because we are not, provinces are not here, only KwaZulu-Natal that can speak for itself. So I'm saying, as I said, the sooner we have that kind of a meeting and a forum, together with all stakeholders, we can then come up with something sustainable, coherent, and shared by every stakeholder. Thank you.
Thank you. Also, I just noted the
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you. These things we don't have where we're coming from. Kindly be informed that the Limpopo legislature has its first sitting held on Tuesday, 16 September 2008, at the Lewapo legislature chamber, adopted the report of the Portfolio Committee on Health and Social Development on the Prevention of and Treatment of Substance Abuse Bill. The House further resolved to confer a final mandate to the Provincial NCOP Permanent Delegate to vote in favor of the bill. The report of the Portfolio Committee is forwarded herewith for your easy reference. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I move to Mpumalanga
concurs with the CD and confers mandate on us to vote on the D version. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Solo. Northern Chase, you will cut. Honorable Suma.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Now, Chairperson, I just received the mandate here. But just allow me to make a comment before I go through my mandate. Chairperson, I see here from my province, they're still raising some concerns on the final mandate and so forth. But maybe that is something that I will have to deal with my particular province. Seems to me there is some confusion as to how to craft a final mandate based on what we have agreed on in the negotiating meeting. But I will take it up with my province. And Chair, I've got one more concern. Receiving a mandate whilst I'm in a meeting, I've got a serious problem with that. I want to get my things a day or two before the actual meeting takes place so that I can study it here as a permanent delegate. I don't want to be seen as a dummy just to come and read something here in this meeting. But this is also something that we need to iron out and get proper systems in place. Yes. The Portfolio Committee's negotiating mandate indicated that the Northern Cape will support prevention of and treatment of substance abuse bill, you see, on the condition that the concerns raised by the committee will also be considered. Now, we already had a negotiating mandate meeting, but I will take it up with the province. In terms of Section 65 of the Constitution, the Portfolio Committee on Social Services and Population Development recommends that the House confer authority on the head of the delegation to the NCP to vote in support of the prevention and treatment of substance abuse. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Honorable
Mr.
Luman.
But I just want to say to Honorable Members, let's practice our provincial lives in offices. Because the mandate from the provinces go to their offices, they spend them in the morning on the day of the meeting. And it's really taking a tough time to the secretary. Even my province, some other provinces, they even send the Monday because we're in the meeting. So if we change with our lives in offices and the provinces, because initially they must give us those mandates before. If they send it to the secretary, also the member of that particular province, to get the mandate, so that this is to be covered. Let's check with the registered officers, and maybe to request them to be part of the meeting, so that they have to understand what's going on in our meeting, because I think that also makes it and saving us. Talk to those officers who are in giving members their mandate in time. Let's now go to Northwest. Oh, before that, Northwest, Honorable Mazubutu.
Something very interesting that I've said by Nana. That member, Suleiman, he said the committee gives mandate the head of the delegation to vote in favor of.
The head of the delegation is the premier chair, and that's the thing that
changed. They change like weather these days, eh? So.
I've seen that. I've seen that, but I thought maybe it's not a premier.
No, you see, that is the reason why I said I want to raise a few things with you.
Yeah.
And some of these issues, I will have to take it up with my problem. Because it embarrasses me as a person. But I must be honest and say, because I can't skip certain things out of my mandate yet. So maybe I will have to go to workshop my brother's house.
Thank you very much. Because we're going to congratulate you at the end of the thank you for the letter note. Northwest.
Northwest Provincial Legislature, Office of the Speaker, Social Development Portfolio Committee, Day 15 September 2008, report on the final mandate of prevention of and treatment for substance abuse amendment bill B12B 2008, terms of reference. The above-mentioned bill was referred to the Portfolio Committee for consideration as a matter of priority. Briefing, on the 14th August 2008, Honorable J. Masilo and Honorable Karede NCUP Permanent Delegates briefed the members at the Portfolio Committee on Social Development on the above bill. Present at the briefing was committee members, the Department Legal Advisors and Legislature Legal Advisors. Consideration. There was a need for public hearing and it was held on the 18th to the 21st of August 2008 at Bojanala Meriting, Central Lichtenburg, Southern Potchefstroom and Bophirimakhanyisa. Resolution. The committee, having considered the bill, resolved to accept and support the bill, signed by the Speaker of Northwest, Honorable Tandi Modise. I thank you, Chairperson.
The last one is Western Cape, Honorable Member Ramona. Thank you, Mr. Chair. when you said you were and it is exactly the same as they had in the negotiation mandate. So I'll just read the final mandate, the Western Cape Provincial Parliament, and then consider the subject of intervention of and treatment of substance use bill B12, B2008, referred to the provincial parliament in terms of the rules of the National Council of Provinces. There is to recall that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill with the following amendments. And those amendments are exactly what we had in the negotiation mandate. Have I read all those amendments?
No.
Chapter 1, page 5, page 3.
Yeah, it is chapter 1, page 6, 7, page 2, 26.
These are final mandates and they are supporting, yet they still have their concerns. So it is for the department to clear their concerns. Thank you very much, honorable members, for raising their mandate to COVID.
I don't want to be seen that I'm putting a spanner in the wheel now, but I don't think at this committee we can finalize this process here today because of the issues that were raised earlier on about the sea licenses, etc., etc. I think we must
make sure that that C version is available and be sent to the respective provinces and give them time to formulate the final mandates on that particular version of the bill. And then we will convene again then to then finally adopt or reject whatever the amendment is going, I mean the mandate is going to be on that particular bill. I'm saying this, Chair, we had in the past some court cases against us as an institution, and we must try and avoid not to make any mistakes here whatsoever. So that is my appeal to this committee. Thank you, Chair.
You agree, Honourable Member? Agree?
Yes.
Is
From the mandate that we got, more than six provinces have actually confirmed their mandate to vote in favor. So I don't know how Chair wants to be advising the court. Really, let us be honest. I think if Ama rules act, Uma have more than six problems. Have agreed on it means that's taken as what we can work on. So it's here and there, of course. And I think we agree that we need to improve on our system. Chair, let us acknowledge that by next week we're not here. Constituency by the other week we are in Eastern Cape, and then that other week. Only here in Parliament for 1 week. If really we want to do justice to the implementation of this legislation, we still need to wait in for the sea bills and the deep bills and all the things. When six provinces are actually, you know, Gauteng has given consent a mandate, what good they found it in order. It's those ones they kicked out. So even the speaker signed and said, they abide by all the legal requirements that are there in the full regulation. Remember, our previous speaker was also a lawyer that studied this. So they are familiar with all these things. So they are careful. They won't confer a mandate if they know what is, there is something fishy. In a short time, they will tell us, how things simply abstain. There are certain things that are not done in there. That's why I come in again, Chair. So, I mean, I'm saying, Chairperson, my proposal, if six provinces have confessed mandate, more than six, I know it's Western Cape, Northern Cape, KwaZulu Natal, that KwaZulu Natal, they said they're not voting in Cape. Issues were raised by Western Cape, issues were raised by Northern Cape. But all others, Chairperson, I think they are good. Why don't you agree that?
Just before I gave to our leader, I said welcome to comment, but nothing to comment. Honorable Fortuna. Captain, I wasn't here the whole of last week, but I'm told that some precedents were created leading to postponement of the sitting today. I don't have all facts before me. So I really want to intervene on this matter in a very guarded way. I've listened both to Honorable Suleiman and Honorable Mazibuko quite carefully. And when I listened to Honorable Mazibuko saying that six provinces are giving final mandate, this is a fact before us, it's a record, no? And we still postpone this meeting on the basis of a C or whatever version. I don't think what is in contention here is whatever version for this meeting. It's a version for provincial legislature. I think that is what Gauteng is saying. KwaZulu-Natal is saying. It does not matter here with us. We don't have a problem with any version. It's we who deliberate on this thing. We are custodians of the record. We are a memory of our own deliberation. Yeah? And if we say approach of Honorable Suleiman, it will unintelligently bring the process and doing the whole process that we have started. Because you have to even say Gauteng you didn't have whatever version that you are saying, eh? Go and help it, Free State, go and help it and whatever. So it will be undoing the whole process. So on the basis of that, Chapman said, I think with caution, you know, let's proceed really. I want to agree. I was persuaded by Honorable Tsuban, but I want to agree. Because people think what Honorable Tsuban is saying, is that among one doing this thing, because we must also give KwaZulu-Natal, and we cannot impose time frames on that. We must say to them, no, we are reopening this thing. Here is the correct version of the bill. Go and consider it, and we still expect your mandate. And I think, really, with the time that we have here, Honorable Tsuban, I don't want to make some controversial comments. I wanted to say, Constitutional Court is very busy on other issues. but this is the process really that we've been, since we, this is how we've been dealing with this.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to challenge us, must challenge us with all the laws, and nullify all the laws that we have passed. At least since I became a House Chairperson since 2004. This is what we've been doing really. And everybody who wants to challenge us, must challenge us from there and nullify all the processes, you know? So I'm saying, Chester said, let's proceed and vote and adopt the bill. Thank you.
Yeah, Chesterton, I think technically speaking, to some extent, when we went to the provinces to brief them, provinces had something like this. You see, we had, as he was explaining, that normally there are amendments that are drawn out and highlighted. And if a province perhaps has not received this, other than where you write B12C, I don't think that would really have a big problem, because this was available, and this, together with the principal bill, I used to do that. I sympathize with KwaZulu-Natal, but I understand where they're coming from. But I don't think we can actually say we need to restart the whole thing, because at least something was available for the provinces to consider in terms of working on the final mandate. It's my personal feeling. It might be my party's position as well. Thank you.
Thank you,
The ANC is no more.
Let me give Ms. Sajay before saying no. Madam? Yes, thank you.
I just wanted to say that when we made the recommendation that we made, the mandate, we were acting on the advice of our legal advisor in the province and looking at the rules as we understand them, and we cannot deviate from that. And I do have a little bit of difficulty in what seems to have been said now. You know, that if Gauteng said it's all okay, then all is rosy in the garden, because I think we all need to look at it carefully. I accept that if six provinces mandate, that is the mandate. But I don't accept that Gauteng is going to be waving the banner and we all follow.
Thank you. I just want to ask to verify. Do we have 6 months?
What
we received 9 cases, but KZN, they did not vote. Western Cape, Northern Cape, and the other one was still there concerned. Western Cape and Northern Cape.
What is that?
They are supporting Western Cape, but they want the committee to know their concerns, because it's the same concerns as they had in the negotiating
day.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Honorable. I just want to make a comment. I'm of the view that if they have voted something, in principle, they support the bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to you, Honorable Chair, in your report to write that Western Cape got concerns with regard to A, B, C, D, and E.
coming to the question of postponing the meeting or continuing with the meeting, I don't see, I'm of the view that the committee can adopt the bill today. It will be up to the committee to be accommodative to what Verona does. Because I can see one thing that is important here now is time. It will be up to the committee if it wants to accommodate what Verona does.
Thank you very much. I just want to check with the department if there's a person from the committee section. Yes. None. Are you from the police section?
Yes, he's the legal guru.
No, the legal department. I just checked the policy unit. Okay. Okay. Because somebody from the department said delegation of the policy
unit, we're already in a program. So just want to check the concern raised by Western Cape and others, if they can consider in the regulation.
But that one,
they will respond to it on the phone. Chairperson, I see that we are taking a sympathetic approach, which I like. Because it's about consensus in doing things, it's not just about simple majority. But I think CDA has raised some concern at some point. I'm not speaking on their behalf, but I think it was a relevant issue. Perhaps as we are accommodating others, I think I'm not sure of this name, but from CDA, there's something that they raised that perhaps can assist us, maybe it can be covered in the regulations. I'm just trying to see if maybe we can repeat that and see if as a committee we can be sympathetic to it.
Yes.
Chair, through you, Chair.
I'm
now
lost. How does the CDA come? It was now a concern of the
mandate, yes.
Previous meeting.
Yeah, if
you
take a
point.
Myself.
Yeah,
let me allow him to, because you see, we are accommodating. Mm-hmm. We want to accommodate aspects of KwaZulu-Natal, which I'm happy about, and perhaps other provinces. But there's one critical issue that they've raised the last time that I think somehow we overlooked it. But I just feel perhaps now, if they can raise it, we may as a committee look at it and see if it's worth considering. But for me personally, I felt it was. I know I'm dealing with mandates.
I think we're dealing with a final mandate.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to proceed? That's it all.
There's a regulation.
And the problem is that not considered careful. The whole problem that comes there to say we agree or we do not agree with you. So I am never saying that if you are going to say here is an issue for CDA and we as a province want to consider it favorably, for instance, what you say. It means that issue must be sent down to the province.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It must be sent to the provinces, the province must now give us a mandate on that issue and we'll come back here. So if it was a whole question of going to and fro, I don't think it's going to happen.
And also CDA is advising the Department of Social Development in the ministry. And not advising the committee.
Now once you defeated, you must accept defeat. So
okay,
I accept.
Honorable members, let's proceed. I'm looking at the time, Mr. Govenda. Your flight is 2 o'clock and you're going to be if you leave us at 12. Let me give you an opportunity to say something. Because we agree that if you got sick, then we agree on the process.
Yeah, Chair, precisely on that point. You know, if we work on the assumption that the majority is always right, it doesn't necessarily hold true. Because the majority is not always right.
No, but
if that is your ruling, Chair, I will accept that. And you know, just to say that, you know, from KZN we had made about 26 submissions to the sources, and of that the department has responded to all of them and supported 7 of them, which is fine. But we are saying that we need to see that those that they have supported are indeed in the bill before we give a final mandate and we support those support.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we just need to be careful that the process is right, so that we do not have comebacks later on. I thank you,
Jeff. Okay, thank you. We are now going to read the question of desirability, honorable member. Prevention of...
I'm sorry.
Okay, go on.
I'm very sorry. I just wanted to read something, in that I thought that the department will make a response before
okay.
It's just a technical issue. If you look at the DBM.
The B12B. They nearly told you a lie, eh?
Okay, Mr. If you saw this, let me go to the department to comment on the deliberation made by honorable members before considering the motion of the government. Who's the leader of the delegation?
Thank you, ma'am. I must apologize for Mr. Chairman, because she was not in the leader of the delegation, and I'm acting on her behalf. I do not have any fundamental comments on the discussion that we had. Because as far as I know, we are only supposed to concern ourselves with whether or not the position mandate for the committee to go ahead and I think we do. Other than that, there were issues that I had a discussion with the state law advisor that I think is going to be raising them. But generally, I think we are in agreement with the fact that it's a sufficient mandate. There are no fundamental changes that the mandate has brought about, and I do not think that we need to go back to, I mean, with regard to, you know, two provinces that seem to have a conditional mandate. But I think those issues that they are raising are issues that we discussed previously and the committee took a decision on. And I think we need to proceed on that basis. On the question of, I know that you asked whether there was anybody from the police, from the department, I think Mr. Kalamudin would be able to deal with any policy related issues that may be.
Some of the issues can be considered at the regulation stage. Can you comment on that? Or any other issues relating to this?
Thank honorable chair. Yes, some of the issues, like you have mentioned previously, dealt with the regulations. But another thing is that some of the things that, like for example, Western Cape is raising, they've already been attended. It's just that other processes also raised similar issues, and then they were addressed during our last deliberations. They were addressed here, and then some of them were captured in here. It's just that then the waiting has to have changed, but it's still the same issue. Like if you look at Chapter 6, Center Base, in outpatient treatment services, we have already corrected that in our final mandate. So those amendments have already been made, but we are saying that we are going to follow up on some of them and make sure that they are covered in the regulation.
I
don't want Mr. Lee to disagree with Mr. Kalamudi, but in as far as whether or not you can cover certain things through the regulations, you need to be very cautious. In as far as this committee has not agreed to certain things can't be included into the act, the bill, we cannot later seek to cover those aspects in the regulations. But if it's something that
has been provided for in the legislation itself. Then you can actually deal with it in the regulation, but you can't if you are not part of the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. And the wish of the committee is to get the regulations before being implemented.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for giving me this opportunity. If you look at page 7 of the bill, line 47, we are talking there about state organs. I think we were supposed to say organ of state as it has been defined in the Constitution. It's just a technical issue. And also, you will see state organ even in page 9, line 35.
Before that, there was an apology for
honorable members. Dear caucus, to the Quail caucus.
Thank you very much. If this honorable, this committee can allow us to rectify that technical problem, because it has, in the Constitution, it has been defined as organ of state, not state organ.
Are you together, member?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we agree to rectify this. Thank you.
Now, thanks for that, you corrected. Honorable members, now I'm going to read a motion of disability, prevention and treatment for substance abuse bill B12B2008. That in the opinion of the committee legislation, it is desirable to provide for a comprehensive national response for the combating of substance abuse, to provide for mechanisms aimed at demand and harm production in relation to substance abuse through prevention, early intervention, treatment, and reintegration programs, to provide for the registration and establishment of treatment centers and halfway houses, to provide for the control of persons to and from treatment centers and for their treatment, rehabilitation and skill development in such treatment centers, to provide for the establishment of the Central Drug Authority, and to provide for methods connected therewith. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. We are now going to deal with clause by clause, and also we'll check those amended clauses. Members, we have this copy of amendment because it's this morning.
I don't have
it. 1, 2, 3 on page 3, line 3. Do you all have this?
Yeah.
Then we'll be staying with amendment. Chapter 1. We study the arrangement of sections. Yeah, we will go through there. Amendments agree?
No.
We go to chapter
Honorable Tony.
Listen to you very carefully. You said that we're going to deal with the bill clause by clause.
Yes.
But it seems to me we are dealing with it by chapter by chapter.
Mm. Clause by clause, I was just taking on the chapter one. So let's go to chapter one, clause one under definition. Are we together? Clause two, object of the act. Clause three, intervention to combat sexual abuse. Clause 4.
What is the
name? I was on page 7 and 9. I've done clause 2. So 3 intervention from my substance abuse. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And clause 4.
As amended.
As an amendment.
Mm.
Do you agree? Writing principle for provisions of policy. Clause 5.
As amended.
As amended. Clause 3. Clause 6.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 7.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 8. This amendment.
This amendment.
Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 9.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 10.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No amendment. No amendment. Agree.
Clause 10.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 11. Clause 12.
Amendment.
Clause 13.
Okay.
Clause 14.
Okay.
Clause 15.
Agreed.
Clause 16.
With amendment.
Amendment agreed. Clause 17.
With amendment.
With amendment agreed.
Yes.
Clause 18.
Agreed.
Clause 19.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. I'm still 56, but I just want for record people to say clause 20.
20 to 56.
I don't want to tell
you. 55.
Clause 21. Clause 22.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Clause 23.
Agreed.
24.
Agreed.
25.
Agreed.
26.
Agreed.
27.
Agreed. 28. Agreed.
29. 30. 31. 32. 33. Silence is golden. 34. 45.
56, 57, 58, 59, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54.
53, 54, 55, 56.
With amendment.
56?
With amendment.
Thank you very much for that. 57? 58?
55.
59, 60?
55.
61, 62, 63, 64, 65,
with amendment.
With amendment, yes. And 67 for title and commencement. Agree? Thank you very much, honorable member. I'm now going to take this opportunity to read a report to the committee members. Report of the Select Committee on Social Services on the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse, BMB 12B 2008, National Assembly 576/1, dated 21st October 2008. The Select Committee on Social Services may be considered the subject of the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse bill B12B 2008, National Assembly Section 76, subsection 1, referred to it and as classified by the joint taking mechanism as a section 76B. Report the bill with amendment B12C 2008.
Agree?
Signed by the chairperson for today's date. Thank you very much, honorable members, for agreeing on the bill. For the department and other guests, if they so wish to stay behind, the committee continuing the business for the day will be adopting the previous minutes and the report. And let me take the opportunity to thank everybody, honorable members and the department. I don't know whether there's a lunch at that concert. I understand there's a bigger lunch outside at half past 12. You may join the committee if you so wish. You are all invited. And thanks very much. And thanks for coming. And bye-bye. No, there's no smoking break. There's no smoking break. We continue.
We continue.
The bill. Copy of the bill. Okay.
No, I'm not going to make it.
Any volunteers?
No,
I'm going to the statement on another bill. So we are waiting
bill
for
on
the
what?
Ms. Karim, from my province for now.
I'm not.
Yeah, this is your friend.
Statement, which
yeah.
statement? Who's
no,
going to write the statement?
Statement, it's going to be your maiden. It's going to be your
yeah.
maiden.
I'm not prepared.
Yes.
I think
I
my
statement.
I'm
speaking to the
researcher,
our office. From my province,
this
is
Karede,
will read the statement.
Agreed?
Thank you.
Yeah, but Tom, what did you preparation is important. You can't just say now when I'm not prepared. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable members, we are starting with a minute.
What are the minutes?
Last week, minute, 14 October. Honorable members, we will read the statement of this bill. Yeah, thank you very much. Lama, are you moving or are you sitting down? Can I have a seat? My leg, my varicose veins, is on my stand chair.
Are you part of us now?
Yeah, I'll just listen to the closest. Okay.
You
want? Now the problem is the members are just getting them now. Let's be fair.
You see, I think one time they use technology.
Yeah.
Not even by email.
Yeah.
So maybe we can improve on that. So that then even those that don't necessarily have emails, but there's a way of getting this to them. Maybe this phone. What are you doing, Proceed? Okay.
There's nothing controversial. Those of us who are not in the meeting can actually follow other things.
Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. 5. And 3. Honorable members, we've got a report, two reports. There's the report for the workshop on the same day we dealt with. We got this report through Korea while we were on recess, even last week. Page 1. Within the time of page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. There's a conclusion that it's not fitting mission for this report. Agree?
Yeah.
Honorable members, this report, it was for the very same bill. Let's now go to the report of the call. The study visitor of BATFA. The direct manufacturer effect in Heidelberg, counted the Tuesday, 26th August. Page 1.
I think the last paragraph, the committee is therefore of the opinion that they envisage to oversight. Did a correction. We're not doing an oversight. Yeah. So that word oversight is there, it can be
correct. Is it correct?
No. It was not an oversight.
What you put here?
Study. Kunali, Bamwezi oversight.
So we cancel oversight.
It was a start.
Yeah.
It's not consistent with the topic change.
Oh, yes. Agree on correction. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Agree?
Conclude, Madeline. Is the word oversight? On the complete.
In the oversight, change the study basis. Honourable members, are we going to debate this report? Call to us.
Statement.
No. But,
I was still part of the but I propose we move to the report.
Yeah.
Unless there's something fundamental that you think Parliament must end off based on this report. I don't think it should even go to the ATC. It should be a report really for internal of the finding of the committee. Yeah.
Because really it was more understanding of the committee to be more informed about it. Thank you very much. Honorable members, let me thank you for your time. We'll adjourn for lunch and we'll be back to our talk here. I don't know why I think a lunch, because we agreed last week that it must be a sitting lunch in front of the House Chair, Ms. Oliphant. Now our controller and secretary
filed
out. It was set in front of the House Chair because COVID is safe. But those who go for finger lunches will enjoy it. To us is a health hazard. Thank you very much.
I don't like it. We set outside
Thank you.
Where's my copy, Ari?
No, I can't get it. I'm not going to come up.
No, I can't
feel that
any young
can.
Until when? A little bit past. Yeah. Maran. Maran to the apple. This is an apple. Barren. Sahona fly. Sahona fly.
Because of the weather. And I gave you a vanilla. My
what is not that because of?
What is not that because of?
Then they booked for us. We slept there, at the hotel.